Welcome to the Waiting Warriors podcast, the podcast for military spouses and significant others who are committed to their service member and want to make the most out of this unique military lifestyle. It's for genuine and honest conversations about topics normally glossed over or things that we just don't talk about for those who want to know actionable and tactical things so that they can really thrive. I'm your host, Michelle Bowler, military spouse of almost 12 years. Let's get to the interview.
Hey, Waiting Warriors, welcome to another podcast episode. This week, I have Amanda Scott with us. We're going to talk about maintaining your career through a hectic TDY schedule, because we all know what that's like for husbands to be, or our spouses, sorry, to be constantly coming and going. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
I'm excited too. I feel like this is a topic a lot of us can relate to, because I think we talk about deployments a lot, right? Because that is a big deal, right? Having them gone for an extended period of time is a lot, but it's also a lot when they're constantly coming and going. I have a handful of friends whose husbands were gone like 50% of last year, but it was just in like 3-week chunks. Anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. So Amanda has been a spouse on active duty Air Force member for 9 years and is a mom of two littles. She works for RTX and is passionate about helping military spouses find and maintain meaningful employment. Okay, before we get started, what is RTX?
Yes.
Another acronym for us.
I know, right? Another acronym. So RTX is probably better known as our formerly known name as Raytheon. So I work, it's a big defense contractor. Really, really interesting, because I always joke and say that I'm married to the customer. But yeah, so it's a niche that I fell into, but I really enjoy it.
Cool. Okay. So back before I got like way ahead of myself, TDYs are a big deal. And I think often, at least when I'm talking to friends or to people online in like the DMs and stuff, it's like they ask a question or like vent something about TDY, and then they feel like they have to apologize for it, because it's like, I know it's not a deployment and I should be okay about it. And it's like, wait, I just want to start out by saying like, We need to understand that TDYs, especially if you're having multiple in a year, it takes a bit of energy and mind power and everything, just like a deployment does. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we have to think about the military community at large, because some communities, like to your point, TDYs are their main thing. So We had a year where we had a TDY that was supposed to be 2 weeks that ended up being, I think it ended up being 7 or 8 weeks all said and done.
Cool.
Yeah. So,
and that's a little different.
Yeah. Right. And so I think with anything, and anyone who's been around the military community for any length of time, I'm preaching to the choir here, is you have to expect the unexpected. And I think anytime anyone puts a, well, it's just this, I should that, like you're setting yourself up for failure, because at the end of the day, this lifestyle is challenging. Mm-hmm. I think everyone who's lived the life understands that. And so I think ultimately setting yourself up for success, and in this case, specifically in your career, you have to have systems and you have to have ways to cope with it. And a lot of that honestly is mindset.
Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about like maintaining our career with all this hecticness, like it's just like a whirlwind, right? Before we move into like how to do that, could you define what maintaining means to you? Just so everybody's on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great question. I think honestly, we could go further and define what career is, because I think a lot of times it can look a little bit different. And I think career means different things to different people. So for me personally, I work full time. So for me, My career is corporate America, full time, fairly 9-to-5-ish. I have an okay amount of flexibility, especially because I work remotely. but that's what I am after. And that's what I'm seeking to continue to do. And so what that looks mm-hmm. like is to be able to work at the level that I feel that I am qualified for. So I want to keep being able to progress. Initially, if you had asked me that, brand new military spouse, Amanda, that question, she would have said, well, that means that the military is not going to impact my career in any way, shape, or form, mm-hmm. which now me, 9 years later, laughs at that because poor not, as much as I would love to say that the military has not impacted my career, it's just not true. So I think ultimately understanding, like taking the fact that yes, it is very likely that the military will impact your career. So understanding that, getting ahead of that and being able to process that is what I think, what I mean by maintaining. So okay. that might not look like your civilian peers. In fact, it probably won't. So yeah. I think that's something to accept early and figure out what you need to deal with that, be it you need to have a serious conversation with your spouse about the time that you're willing to do that. And like there, or if it's, you're trying to figure out things you need to outsource. But yeah, that's what I mean by maintaining is, for me, it's progression. For some people, it's going to be just hanging on and getting a paycheck, because we all know in this yeah. economy, it's important to have a dual income household.
Yeah. Well, and like military spouses are one of the highest percentages of unemployment. Is it down? I think it went down to 21. It was at 24%. And I think it was just put down to 21. So it's one of those, but either of those are very, very high. So it's yeah. even, yeah, I think you're right. Some people are just like, okay, I just need to keep it. But then that is a little deflating of the dream, right? Like it's the dream is to progress. I think even if you're like, that's like the humanist in us, right? Of like, we want to progress no matter what we're doing, but especially in a career that's, I don't think anybody was going to college and learning the things so they could have a job so that they could just like stay at entry level. With like all of that, what you're saying, like how has that looked for you? I know you're saying like things have changed over the 9 years, right? Like your expectations have changed, kind of your mindset and perspective has changed. I'm curious what things happened, I guess we can start with, of like that made that change other than like, well, the military happened.
Yeah. No. And so for me, so my husband's Air Force and he is a pilot. So we got married pretty fresh out of college and we were originally came to Colorado Springs and I knew it was going to be short term. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to really seek like meaningful employment to me as a fresh college graduate, which was a little disheartening at the time because fresh out of college, ready to try and start building my career. And I knew that I was going to have a little bit of a delay. What I didn't realize is what I thought would be probably a 6 to 9 month delay ended up being a 3 year delay. Yeah. So that was really what changed my perspective. So we came to Colorado Springs for about 9 months. It was actually really fun. It was great. I had my expectations were set appropriately for that time. I got a job at Starbucks, which I loved. I learned a lot about coffee. Starbucks is very military friendly. Yeah. So I have several military spouse and veteran employment initiatives where they're seeking to hire military spouses and veterans. So I had like no problem getting on. They let me take a good chunk to get married. No problem. So it was great for the time. So then I'm like, okay, I've had my fun. Now we're moving to Texas for him to start pilot training. And that's where I started running into issues. We were there for about a year and a half. I went on 10 job interviews in that time and I got one out of those. And I was openly discriminated against. I had someone call me and tell me for a job that I truly was not super interested in, but I was like, I just need anything at this point. Mm-hmm. And so I had someone call me and say, I'm doing you a favor, but we're not going to hire you because you're a military spouse. I just don't want it to hurt your confidence. So I'm doing you a favor. I'm going to let you know the real reason. But if you tell anyone this or you pursue this, we will deny it. So don't even try. And I said, okay. Yeah. So that year and a half was very eye-opening to me. Yeah. I realized very quickly that there are several nuances when it comes to trying to find and maintain employment as a military spouse. So we go through that assignment. I was able to keep like some level of employment, and we moved to Tucson, Arizona, which is a much bigger city. So it was not as much of an issue. And so that's where I really made my biggest career pivot, because at this point I thought I was going to go to law school, and I was like, I'm going to law school. And I was doing everything to pursue that. And it just was not working out. There is a law school in Arizona. I didn't get into that law school. And so my like identity took a big hit at that point, because I was concerned that I was really concerned that having any type of career like I envisioned was incompatible with military life. Thankfully, I've learned that's not true. You do have to pivot, certainly. Yeah. So that is where, once I realized that was not going to be the path for me, I was able to pivot into my current role, and I've been employed at that company for almost 6 years. Yeah. And it's been great. And I think that's the thing. And when we PC, I was already remote at that time due to COVID. And when we PCS, I called my manager and said, "Hey, we're going to move to Colorado Springs." And he said, "Okay." That's great. I was like, "Okay."
See, it doesn't have to be this hard.
Exactly. And so I think that kind of gets to like part of the conversation that I think we'll get into. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I think there are reasons that conversation went so well with that manager. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
So what are the things that have worked for you, and even like the things that haven't worked for you, to help you maintain this career over the years?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is that I don't have to work in person. And as much as I'm a super extrovert, so it was definitely an adjustment, because I love, like, I'm the person who loves like water cooler chat. Like, I love things. I like getting up and going to an office. Like, I don't mind any of that stuff. And I did that originally for this company for like almost 3 years before I went remote. So I think that's the thing, is being flexible about how you do your work. So I understand, for me, that meant I could go remote, and I understand that that's not going to be what everyone can do. But I think people have to be you have to get a little bit creative to figure out what you're going to do to maintain that. So for some people, it's remote work. For some people, it's entrepreneurship. There are other options as well, but I think those are two big, really amazing options, because it allows you to be in control to some degree, to where either it doesn't matter where you're doing your work, or you're your own business and you're providing your own service, and you set up shop wherever you go. So that, I think, is one big thing. And then as far as like navigating corporate life, which is basically almost all of my experience, I'm very open with the fact that I'm a military spouse. I know that's a little bit of like a hot topic with.
Right. I've heard both sides.
Yeah. And as someone who has been openly discriminated against, I understand why you wouldn't. So I would never say definitively yes, definitively no. I think you have to feel it out based on being in the room. But this company, when I initially interviewed, a manager looked at my resume and asked me why have you moved around so much? And I don't think, now I know this guy pretty well, and I don't think the issue he was trying to solve in the moment is that they were having problems, retention problems.
Right.
It had nothing to do with me being a military spouse. But in the moment, I went back to him and was like, well, no one can promise you tomorrow. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Oh. Yeah, a little sassy, but it worked out. I got the job. But
yeah,
ultimately, but that was the thing. I was open with them. And as soon as I got managers, I am very, and especially when you're dealing with like a hectic TDY schedule, I'm super open with them about what's going on in my life. I think at the end of the day, if you have a good manager, I guess I should caveat that. Right. If you have a good manager, then they understand that everyone is human. And if COVID taught us nothing, it's that you have to expect the unexpected and have to be a little bit more flexible with people. We have to realize that employees have lives. And so there's absolutely nothing wrong in my opinion, as long as it's dependent, as long as you feel like you have that relationship, be open and be honest and say, hey, I'm solo parenting for the next, if it's just a week or two, or if I think it's not going to impact anything, I generally wouldn't say anything. But mm-hmm. if we're facing like a 3-month TDY, then, or I know that we're going to face like several back-to-back-to-back-to-back where it's going to be a lot of in and out, then I'm just really open with them. And because I'm remote, I don't have to formally ask for accommodations. But if you're not remote and you need accommodations, be it to pick up your child or something like that, absolutely do it. I think mm-hmm. at the end of the day, people have it built up in their head that, oh, my manager or my team or whatever, like they're not going to allow me to do this, or they're going to see me a certain way because I have additional responsibilities outside of the home. And honestly, I go back to those people and say, but who doesn't?
Yeah.
Like who doesn't have a life outside of the job? So I think honestly, before you even do that, set yourself up by success for being the best employee.
Yeah.
If you work the hardest and you are getting your stuff done, despite what is going around you, then there's really, generally, there's no argument against providing you the accommodations, especially if you can say, look, I've already been doing this without accommodation. So
Right. Hopefully
you don't have to do that. But oftentimes, as I know, it's crazy and things are going on and the world can get turned upside down on a dime. So a lot of times I think it's just cluing people in to say, look, I've already been dealing with this. And at this point, I'm just asking for, be it, whatever it is right. that you do you need, like our work schedule, I worked with someone who she's a military spouse and it's when we were in person and we work 9-hour days and then we have every other Friday off. And she said, hey, I can't do that because I have to get my kids from care. Can I work 5 8-hour days and work a more traditional schedule? And the answer mm-hmm. was no problem. So I think that's really the thing. When talking about trying to maintain a career during TDY, when you're dealing with your employer, I would say as long as it's a role that you see yourself in and you have a proven track record and you feel like it's available to you, don't be afraid to ask for accommodations.
Yeah. I'm curious if you could share like examples, like you just did, of the switching from like 4 9-hour days to 5 8-hour days. Could you share like some other accommodations that either you have used or you've seen other military spouses ask for, just so then people can like, I feel like it's the concept of like, once the one guy ran the 4-minute mile, then everybody could, right? Like just knowing, because I think it's the fear is what I hear a lot of my friends holding back, and they just automatically assume it's going to be a no. Versus thinking like, oh, I guess like it's not a 1990 where really military spouses were just like, some of the stats and the stories I have heard are just appalling. It's not that time anymore. There has been a lot of growth, especially COVID. I think COVID helped a lot. But yeah, I just think, like, what are some of the accommodations that you've asked for or you've heard of others asking for, just so everybody can kind of like have an idea of like what's possible?
Absolutely. So I think a big one, depending on what your role is, coming from the like more office style, I think an easy one to ask for is a hybrid schedule. And that's something that, because I'm remote, I don't have that. But if there's anyone in your company working remotely, then it's possible. So I think that's something I encourage people to think about. And I think the big thing is, if you're going to ask for these things, then you need to come in with a full plan and why it will work. So I think ultimately, but yes, I think things that you could ask for are a hybrid schedule, flex time. So adjusting your schedule one way or another, maybe you're in person for a good chunk of the day and then you bring your computer home and you work after your kids go to sleep, if that's what it takes for you to get it done. I don't know that I would do this for a TDY schedule, for like TDYs, but you could ask to go down to reduce your hours and to go down to a lighter schedule if that's what you need. But that's not, unless you, generally companies are not going to be as willing to do that for like a short amount of time. They would rather you figure out some kind of flex situation mm-hmm. where you're flexing your time. But I think the biggest thing is to remember how expensive it is to lose you. And I think spouses, and I've had this mentality myself, forget that we're an asset. Don't get so desperate that you're like, I have to have a job. I have to have a job. I have to have a job. And I'll do whatever it takes to make this work. Mm-hmm. If you have to do that, because that's what you need to do. I understand that, but also just ask the question, because at the end of the day, most managers are human.
Right.
And so what managers care about is that you get your work done. So mm-hmm. as long as you can provide a solution that should work, you're much more likely to get a yes. So I think if you're on a more traditional, like retail customer facing role, then those accommodations are going to be different. Like you're probably looking at something like reducing your hours, and that can be tough. And that's something that you would have to talk through with you and your family to decide if that's doable. I do want to mention, I know we're talking about TDYs, but I do want to mention that FMLA, which is unpaid leave mandated by the federal government, if your company is eligible to participate, has over 100 employees, there's a couple of things. Consider looking into FMLA, because you could take an unpaid leave of absence for some military events. Mm-hmm. Generally, it's deployments. It's not available. It's not really available for, there's some gray area, I will say. Mm-hmm. Talk to your HR rep. But consider if it's really something where like, this is going to be insane and I need to take a leave of absence for whatever reason. Hopefully it doesn't come to that, but you know, crazier things have happened. So if you need it, FMLA may be available to you, or even honestly, just a straight up leave of absence for your company, if that's what it takes.
And do they just like Google FMLA?
Yes. So
I'm going to Google it and I'm going to put it in the like links.
So I can send you a link to it, because there's a specific section of FMLA that's available for, if you put in FMLA military, then there's a very specific section of FMLA that covers what would be available to you or how you could use it. Honestly, definitely talk to your HR rep, because it is very tricky. It's not run by companies. The FMLA is the law. It's not like a company can opt in or opt out. If they meet the standards, they have to use it. They can't just be like, we don't do it.
That's cool. So I love what you said though, of like, okay, this is a good resource we could use, but also don't be afraid of the accommodations, but especially like having a plan, like, because I'm not in corporate America, but I'm just an entrepreneur, I'm an entrepreneur. So I don't have to ask anybody permission, right? But are there specific things, I know you mentioned like managers are worried about the work getting done. Are there other things you would recommend having like on the plan, right? Like I'm equating this to like how I was successful with some advocacy work that I did after our son was stillborn. There were some instances in which like clearly the military hospital system was not like, just there were problems. There was paperwork. Like I got the same paperwork in a postpartum appointment as if my baby was sitting right next to me, right? Like no, and people kept calling me mama, and the doctor walked in and had no idea that I had just lost my baby. Like, so it's like the nurse was asking me questions about my baby and how delivery went and like all this kind of stuff. And it's like, okay, I know those aren't bad people, but like something's wrong with the system. And so I was very, very angry and very nervous, but felt like something should change. But my mom gave me the advice of like, okay, but like you have to have a plan. Like, don't just go in there demanding things. My mom really taught me growing up, like if you haven't asked, you have to have a plan for it, right? And so I think this, like, that's what I'm thinking of with this. And I think that's why the advocacy went so well, because I went in with pages of like, this is what's wrong and this is how we can fix it and this is why we need to fix it. Obviously it would be like a different format for you if you're doing your job, but like what are those things other, or is it just like, okay, this is my proposal. I'm going to work this is what needs to change. I'm going to work these hours and these hours and these hours. And I will make sure that work gets done, or do, or does it need to be like, in these hours I'm gonna do, I don't do a corporate, so I'm gonna do admin stuff, or do you know what I mean? Like,
no,
and this is when I'll be overlapping with when the office is in, so all of that type of work, and then I'll be doing my independent work at 8 to 10 at night or whatever.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think that is the perfect word. Advocacy is what you're doing. You're advocating for yourself that despite the circumstance, you are able to maintain your career. And I think in some cases you can even thrive. I hesitate to use that word because I've been there in the batten down the hatches moments, and I am not thriving. And I know that. So I think absolutely, I'm super big on advocacy and advocating for yourself so that you can learn how to advocate for others and advocate for at large. And first of all, thank you for doing that. And I'm sorry that that happened to you, because that's ridiculous. And it absolutely should not have happened. And I think the fact that you were able, and I think what you're doing is what you, how you talked about that and having a plan is absolutely the way to go. I could talk about how to advocate for yourself for a whole hour, but I'm going to try to distill as much as humanly possible, because I'm working on some material for this. So I have this like really top of mind, but I think the biggest thing is bring the data. So come in. One of my favorite quotes is, "In God we trust, and all others must bring data." I just love that. I love that quote. I think it's hilarious. I think it's great, because at the end of the day, if you come in and say, and you make it, and the other thing is solve the problem or make your problem their problem. So, and what I mean by that is if you come in, for example, like let's say you're asking to work flex hours. So if you come in and say, "I'm super overwhelmed. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm not going to be able to do my work," and are really emotional and unable to really provide a way for your manager to help you. I think it depends on the relationship you have. Like if you have a great relationship, maybe you can come in with like a, "I don't know what to do. Can you help me?" That's one thing. Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes to my kind of final point, is make sure that you have an ask. So I always tell people, if you feel like you're drowning in any situation that the military puts you in, don't go to the decision maker, the person that you need to like make the decision for you first. Go have a conversation with a mentor, a trusted friend. I love that you talk to your mom. Like talk to someone who you have complete trust with. And that way you can get out all those emotions and you can get out the frustration, the sadness, the disappointment, whatever it is. And you can get that first conversation through with, or have, honestly, maybe you need to have it more than one time. However many times you need a conversation to work through those emotions first, maybe it's a therapist, anyone who can help you in that capacity to get through that, to get through the emotion, so that you can when you go to the decision maker, be it your manager, be it HR, whoever, you have a concrete ask to say, based on what's going on right now, this is what I need. This is how it's not going to impact my work. Here's how everything will get done. And here's the length of time that I'm asking for. And I am asking that we reevaluate this in X amount of time. We can check in and develop a plan.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah.
Yeah, I love that, because then it's like, so this may be like very controversial, and I know it's a hot topic, but my experience is people in general, so many people on the internet, so many people are like afraid almost. It's like there's this underlying fear of like the military spouse is going to turn needy and like they're, I don't even like any of the words, right? Like, but they're going to turn needy, they're going to turn entitled and complaining and like, woe is me attitude, right? Because there are some people, I think it's a very small percentage of the population, but like that does exist. So if that's their fear, and that's honestly, I think a lot of our fears of like, we don't want to come off that way, which is why we freaking like kill ourselves and just work ourselves like crazy to not be that way. But I think if we can find the middle ground of like actually just showing up like a boss with a plan, like everything you just said kills all those fears, right? Like, it's like, no, I'm not asking for the world. I'm not asking for you to just solve all my problems. It's here's the problem. And like the way you laid it, I want to like make a worksheet out of it. Like, here's Amanda's perfect plan for proposing to your boss.
Like, yeah, no, I appreciate that. But honestly, it's come down to I've lived it. Like, I've had to have those conversations. Mm-hmm. Like, I was really nervous to have that conversation. A little more on that story I was telling earlier when I went to he actually was not even my manager yet. So in a true military story, when I had to tell them that we were PCSing, I applied for an internal transfer because I wanted to work for this manager because I had heard really good things about him. And it's really important to me, especially as a military spouse who may need accommodations, to have a really good manager who understands mm-hmm. people have lives. So I saw an opportunity to work for this manager. And in a true military story, we found out we got soft orders. We didn't get hard orders, but we got soft orders to PCS. And I found out that I got this new role on the same day. And we found out my husband was going to deploy 2 days later before we PCS'd. So I was like internally panicking because I was like, crap, I'm going to have to do
this. A lot of change.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to have to explain to this manager who does not know me very well that I'm going to be solo parenting. I'm going to start this new role and I'm going to be solo parenting. And then we're going to move shortly thereafter. And so when I went to him, I first of all did not ask him about any of that stuff, right? That stuff is happening. Like, these are the facts. But thankfully at that point, I had already built enough of a reputation within the company to where that's why it was an easier conversation, because I was able to say, I'm letting you know, this is what's going on. And I'm telling you this in advance because right now I see no issue with it. I already have a plan in place. Because it was a deployment, I chose to flow my mom out. Thankfully, I was very, very, very fortunate that we could afford to do that. She worked remotely from my house with me and we had daycare readily available. So we had a lot of privilege in that situation. And I do want to acknowledge that. But I already had, before I went to him and told him any of these things, I said, this is what will be going on. And I'm telling you this to let you know, as of right now, no concerns. I don't see how this is going to impact me here, but I'm letting you know this is what's going on outside. And I'm also letting you know if it changes and I need help, I will come to you with a plan and a proposed idea so that we can ensure that the work will be done and it's not going to impact my work here. And he was like, okay, great. Like, you already, there's no questions. Like, you already solved any potential problem or any issue that I saw. You came in and you said, here's why it's not a problem.
Right. I love that. Cause it's like, if you think about it, it's like, that's what they're there for. They're there to like manage, right? So if you just communicate and you let them know what is happening and the potential problems, how you're going to face them, what you think is going to be happening, it's like, it's mostly a communication. It's when there's unknown that is going to cause problems on like in their minds, right? Like, super smart. It's like, okay, I think we're at a good spot. It's like, I could come up with so many questions, but we can't have forever long episodes. But I love what you're saying of just like, it is possible. You got to reframe and adjust the dreams a little bit and get creative. But like, it's mostly just coming down to like having a plan and communicating. What is your key to thriving you want to share with your fellow waiting warriors?
So I love that you're using the word thriving. And I think it is possible, first of all, to thrive in this lifestyle. It's so important to know that. And I think really that kind of goes to what I'm going to say here. But to me, the most important thing is mindset. The military, allowing yourself to get into this mindset of the military is doing this to me. And I'm just like a spectator to my own life. Is so harmful. So I think flipping that narrative and saying, I am an active participant in my own life, in my own career, in my own goals, and my own dreams. And I have additional circumstances that are going to impact me, but understanding that I can continue to pivot and work through them. And that at the end of the day, nobody stays in the military forever. It's not possible. You can't do it. So I think understanding that this is a temporary situation and trying to navigate and flip the narrative to find the positive wherever you are is huge and will serve you best in order to thrive in this lifestyle.
I like could not give a bigger rounder applause, bigger round of applause to that, like, because I think that is true. And I think it is okay. Like, you might, at least for me, it hasn't been like, yes, I'm going to decide to have that mentality and then I never go back. Like, you'd wave back. But if that's like your goal, to have that mentality of like, no, I'm like, the military is not dictating my life. They dictate some things in my life and some timing in my life, right? But I'm still in the driver's seat. That it has made a huge difference for me too. So I love that that is your key to thriving, because I think that's when a lot of military spouses start hurting. Like, it hurts a lot to take away that power from yourself and hand it over, because that's what you're doing if you're not willing to like to do what you said of just like really taking control and in that way. I love that. What are some ways that people can connect with you if they want? I know you said like you love to help military spouses find meaningful employment. What does that mean, and how can they connect with you on that?
Yeah. So the best way to connect with me is actually on LinkedIn. So if they go to LinkedIn, hopefully we can put a chat or a link somewhere.
Yeah, that'll be in the show notes.
Perfect. Yeah. So click that link. I'm happy to connect with you. So I actually do most of my work like that through volunteer work. So awesome. Yeah, I really enjoy it. It's a great balance for me. But primarily through Hiring Our Heroes and the Military Spouse Professional Network. Yes. So if you are career minded, definitely plug into one of those networks. It was that community and that organization was a huge part of me being able to pivot and change my mindset. So that's one area in which I do it, and probably my main avenue. So mm-hmm. If you're interested in connecting further, I'm happy. Yeah, please reach out, message me on LinkedIn. I'm happy to connect you with more resources.
Awesome. Loved it. And yeah, small plug for Hiring Our Heroes. They're awesome. I know multiple spouses who work in the military spouse section. Sorry, I don't know, like, fun corporate lingo. I just make it up on my own.
Program. Yeah, and they're great.
In the whole program, they're great. Yeah. And there's so many resources to help you find a job, to get more training, to be more qualified for different jobs. It's awesome. Well, thank you, Amanda. I really enjoyed this conversation. I hope it is helpful. I know it'll be helpful for people who are facing a crazy year, who are maybe just starting out and are like dreamy-eyed, and I don't want to like knock you down if you're dreamy-eyed, but I think it's super helpful to like be realistic, but also see like Amanda's 9 years later. She's not where she thought she was. It didn't happen the way she thought it was going to, but she's still in a really, really awesome spot. And I love that. And so it's like, I don't know. I don't want to be like the seasoned military spouses that are like, you are not going to get what you want, honey. Sorry. Like, no, it's going to look different, but it can still be really awesome. And I love your whole approach and advice for that. So thank you for coming on the show. And guys, remember, just because it's hard doesn't mean it has to be miserable. You can still have a fulfilling career despite the TDYs and all the craziness that we deal with. So have a good week, guys. And thanks again, Amanda.
Thank you.
All of you waiting warriors know that life as a military spouse can be unpredictable. So it's easy to think that when it comes to our aspirations and dreams, you have to wait. But it doesn't have to be like that. National University is a veteran-founded nonprofit university that is firmly committed to helping military dependents. Not only are their programs flexible so you can time your assignments around things like deployments, PCSs, all the other crazy things, they have a scholarship just for military spouses. Use the link in the podcast summary or over on my Instagram bio to learn more about the Whisper Military Spouse Scholarship and the other options they have for tuition reduction for military spouses that could result in zero out-of-pocket educational costs at National University.